questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of iRabi English Radio, Call of Islam page. Welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I'm Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio, we have a very special guest speaker from the Islamic House of Qom, Sheikh Karimi. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
So facing the opponents in a religion is a controversial topic. In fact, we have some people who inside the religion of Islam or from outside are opposing some of the beliefs. How to, we can say, react towards such an action or such behaviors in the religion of Islam? Shaykh, what's your answer?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is a very significant question because of the fact that nowadays we see many people suffering from this problem. By suffering, I mean that they have such a problem in dealing with the people who do not think like them. And as Muslims, unfortunately, many of them, they are not able to practice Islamic instructions as mentioned in the Noble Book of Quran and the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salam. So nowadays we see Muslims having problem with their non-Muslim neighbors, friends, and so on and so forth, as followers of different Islamic denominations, Shia, Sunni, and other Islamic denominations, they cannot tolerate each other, at least in some parts of the world. But the point is that if we act upon the verses of the Quran and the seerah, the lifestyle of the Prophet and the infallible Imams, we see that this is not the case. Let's just begin by a verse from chapter An-Nahl, verse 125. Of course, mainly I would like to talk about theoretical discussions between the followers of different religions and denominations, and then I may go to some practical points as well. So Allah says that Udu ala sabil rabbika bil hikmati wal maw'izati al hasana, invite to the way of your Lord with wisdom and good advice. وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. So first of all, we are talking about hikmah, wisdom, and الْمَوْعِذَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ, good advice. Are we acting upon that? Good advice is a very important feature of any kind of advice. We are, in many cases, asking the people, commanding the people, but it cannot be considered as a good advice. Even when you're talking about enjoining good and forbidding the evil, is the way, is the content a good one or not? This is a very important issue.
Okay.
And then even if you're going to dispute, وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ, and dispute with them in a manner that is best. Practically speaking, when we refer to the lifestyle of the Prophet and infallible Imams, we see that in some cases, for example, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, he has many debates with atheists, with people without any religion, or with people who believed in two gods. They were dualists.
Dualists, that's right.
Yeah, for example, the stories of Ibn Abil Hawja, Abu Shakir, Daysani, Ja'd ibn Darham, and all of them were welcomed by Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Now, there is a very interesting point, and that is the fact is that we do not read in the history that in many cases they accepted the religion of Islam. No, they continued to be atheists, but still Imam Sadiq alayhi salam welcomed them.
That's right, and answered the questions.
So I believe this is the way that we need to put as a kind of role model, as a kind of symbol.
And there is a very good manner, ethical and moral, we can say, how can I say, merits in such actions from the side of our Imams and Prophet Muhammad, something which is called the tolerance, you know.
Exactly.
The rate of tolerance today, you know, especially in the world, is really low, not only in the religious communities, but in non-religious ones, the people cannot, you know.
Yeah, it doesn't make any difference.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if we can imagine that nowadays different leaders of different religions come together, just sit together, discuss about different issues. But Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, not only he's talking to the leaders of other religions, he talks to atheists. Mm-hmm. So can we imagine that today an Islamic leader comes and sits with a leader in atheism, for example, one of the famous atheists. So this is what we are in need of, and this is what the religion of Islam is inviting to.
Okay.
And when it comes to different followers of different Islamic denominations, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam had discussions with Abu Hanifa, for example, according to some historical accounts. And we know that he was one of the imams and leaders Sunnis.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
So usually the question and answers that are tackled in here between the two opponents is based on respect, okay?
Exactly.
And we can say inside the religion of Islam, we had a very good example of the which was, again, we can say changed to a book, Al-Muraja'at. If you couldn't remember, Allama Sharafuddin Al-Amali, you know,
definitely.
And the correspondence that he had with the then head of Al-Azhar University and Islamic Seminary in Egypt, all in all, we can say our respect. And usually in the past, before this extremism, I mean, ISIS form and extremist redliners come to the scene on the Islamic lands, usually the Sunni and the Shiite brethren and the scholars had good dialogues with each other, isn't it?
To be honest, I mean, in the history of humans, in some periods we have, challenges between the followers of different religions like Islam and Christianity and Islamic denominations. And in some cases, we have challenges and dialogue together. So, to some extent, this new extremism also raised such new problems, but we cannot claim that it is unprecedented.
Yes.
In the past, also, we had such cases. I mean, crusades are one of the best examples of challenge between two religions. Now, if I may go to the life of the Prophet, as I mentioned, when it comes to theoretical discussions and in some cases even to practical aspects of life, the Holy Prophet was, tolerating his enemies a lot. There are many examples, and there are, very few cases in which the Holy Prophet is not going to tolerate anymore because they are, putting the whole religion of Islam in danger. Now, one of the greatest examples is the story of Abdullah ibn Ubay, who was the chief of the hypocrites of the city of Medina. And for, many cases, he was ready to, demolish the whole religion of Islam, but the Holy Prophet tolerated him. In one case, after the battle of Banu al-Mustalaq, he said that, لَإِنْ رَجَعْنَا إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ لَيُخْرِجَنَّ الْأَعَزُّ مِنْهَا الْأَذَلِ. If we return to the city, that is Medina, the mighty, that is the hypocrites, will surely expel the weak, that is the Prophet and his companions from it. But it didn't happen. They were not able to do that. Still, the Holy Prophet and the companions of the Holy Prophet became very, very angry, and they asked the Prophet to kill him. But the Holy Prophet did not accept it. In many cases, some of the Jewish people of the city of Medina, they tried to bring some seditions among and problems between two tribes of Aus and Khazraj. The Holy Prophet tolerated them. We have the story of a person called Nabtal ibn al-Harith. He called the Prophet Odon, ear.
Yes.
Making fun of the Prophet. The Holy Prophet tolerated him. And, the list goes on. Wadi Ad ibn Thabit, Umayr ibn Wahab, Hatib ibn Abi Balta'a, who somehow made a treachery. He told the disbelievers of the city of Mecca about the fact that the Muslim army is heading toward the city of Mecca. And in all these cases, the Holy Prophet tolerated them.
Yes.
But only we have, some exceptions. So when it comes to social justice and when it comes to the rights of the people, or for example, when it comes to some people looting the public treasury, Baitul Mal, or those people who wanted to disrupt the social security, yes, the Holy Prophet is not going to tolerate that.
There was also a controversy after the case of Qadir, Al-Qadir. A person came to Prophet Muhammad and started complaining about why choosing Ali as your successor, and then the verse of the Quran was revealed and a stone, isn't it?
These people are the one that we call Muhanid, meaning that they know the truth, but they're not able to find the truth, to follow the
truth. They know the truth, but they, you know, start a controversy.
Exactly. Okay. And that man himself asked for a punishment. Even in that case, the Holy Prophet did not ask for any punishment. Now, this is between different religions. When it comes to us as Shia and the way we need to deal with Ahlus Sunnah, our dear brothers and sisters, there are many narrations in this regard. And I would like to ask our dear listeners, especially the Shia, to read these narrations in Shia collection of hadith. In Wasail al-Shia, written by Sheikh al-Amali, collected by Sheikh al-Amali, there is a chapter called باب وجوب عشرة الناس. The chapter is about the obligation called عشرة الناس, that we need to deal with people gently, in a very good manner, including Al-Amma, including Ahlus Sunnah. And there are 10 narrations in this regard. For example, in one narration addressing Zayd Shaham, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says that, O Zayd, tell the people who follow me, that is the Shia, that you need to act upon piety. And when it comes to Ahlus Sunnah, you need to be truthful. You need to, when it comes to Amana, the trust, you need to give them back. And you need to have a very good you need to be good tempered when it comes to your neighbors. And especially regarding Ahlus Sunnah, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says that go and visit them. When it comes to their funeral ceremonies, take part in it. When they are sick, go and visit them. And if you do that, then it would make me, that is Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, happy, because the people would come and say that this is the adab, this is the manner of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, so that the Shia are so gentle toward Ahlus Sunnah. And in another narration, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is quoted as saying, Sallu fi ashairihim, join the congregational prayer of Ahlus Sunnah, Udu mardahum, if they are sick, go and visit them. Wala yasbiqunakum ila shay'in min al-khair, if there is any kind of any act of goodness, you need to be the first. This is in Al-Kafi, volume 3, page 555. And many other narrations in which the word An-Nas has been used, and it is referring to Ahlus Sunnah, and the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt have asked the Shia to be the best people in dealing with Ahlus Sunnah. So this is the way that the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam have taught us. So we need to compare it to the act of some minorities among the Shia.
That's right.
Who unfortunately disrespect Ahlus Sunnah and the people who are respected by Ahlus Sunnah. This has nothing to do with the lifestyle of the Imam of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam.
That's right. Thank you very much, Sheikh Karimi, for a nice elaboration regarding how to tolerate your opponents in the religion of Islam. And I hope that one day the dialogue in the true sense of the form and according to the lifestyle of the Ahlul Bayt is shaped between both the followers of the Shiites and Sunni brethren all across the Islam. Thank you very much, Sheikh.
My pleasure.
And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/en, Call of Islam page. The another episode. God bless you all. Fi amanallah. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Li Aliin wa Husayn wa Hasan. Li Aliin wa Husayn wa Hasan. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي و
وحسيني وحسان كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نارا من لبن إن في الجنة نارا من لبن علي وحسين وحسن